Hello, everyone. I'm Dana Perino, along with Judge Jeanine Pirro, Harold Ford Jr., Jesse Waters, and Tyrus. It's 5 o'clock in New York City. This is The Five. Donald Trump flipping the script on his criminal hush money trial in New York, going from the court to a bodega. If that place looked familiar, well, that's because you've seen it before. It's the infamous site where its previous owner, Jose Alba, stabbed a man to death in self-defense, but was charged by a New York City DA named Alvin Bragg, who's very familiar to you now. But then finally, under a lot of pressure, Alvin Bragg dropped the case. The former president railing against Bragg's crime record on tape. Watch here.
They want law and order. They have a lot of crime, tremendous crime, where their stores are being robbed. We have to straighten out New York, and that includes crime. And these guys have great people, great friends, but they have tremendous crimes. It's Alvin Bragg's fault. Alvin Bragg does nothing. He goes after guys like Trump, who did nothing wrong. Violent criminals, murderers, they know there are hundreds of murderers all over the city. They know who they are. They don't pick them up. They go after Trump.
Well, Trump must have gotten under Alvin Bragg's skin, the Manhattan DA issuing a response defending his handling of the case and adding that his, quote, top priority remains combating violent crime. And the office has worked hand in hand with the NYPD to drive down overall crime in Manhattan, including double-digit decreases in homicides and shootings since he took office. That, however, still doesn't change the fact that Bragg has downgraded a staggering 60% of felony cases to lesser charges last year. Meanwhile, Trump got a very warm reception at that bodega. But the media, not a fan, one MSNBC analyst comparing the former president to a caged animal, warning that he might lash out dangerously because of the trial.
Essentially, he's like a caged animal, and that's a dangerous situation. He's feeling very threatened. He's out of control. And so we do expect him to lash out. Anybody who has covered him over the past decade can expect that.
Judge, you got a kick out of that one.
I did. Out of control. Do you want to ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Out of control. I mean, in their dreams, he's out of control. This man is the epitome of grace under fire. I mean, forget about the fact that he was spied on. He was impeached twice. They took $500 million from him. They've indicted him four times. They're looking to put him in jail. This guy's out campaigning as soon as court is out. And, you know, this guy Bragg, I got to tell you, he is a make-believe prosecutor. This guy's job is to protect the criminal and forget about the victim. Alvin Bragg is the kind of guy who forgives those who rob people with weapons, but then indicts people who defend themselves with weapons. This guy is a pathetic example of what's going on. And he can talk about crime being down in New York, Alvin Bragg, all he wants. He's a fool. First of all, police aren't making arrests because there aren't enough of them. Secondly, people aren't reporting crimes because they know that nothing's going to happen. And the idea, and I can speak to this, the idea of downgrading 938 of the most serious felony charges and reducing felonies to misdemeanors in almost 1,000 cases, 60% reduced. I mean, this is sad. This is pathetic. But I do think that it was brilliant on the part of Donald Trump to go back to the bodega, because this is a place where an ex-con, a career criminal, jumped over the counter of the owner of this bodega to stab him, because the owner of the bodega wouldn't give his girlfriend a free bag of chips. And while the ex-con's girlfriend is stabbing the owner, he is cornered, he is being attacked, and he's about to be stabbed, and he defends himself. And this bozo, Alvin Bragg, says after a thorough investigation, we dismissed $250,000 bail in Rikers Island for 3 weeks only because we went crazy, the media went crazy, the public went crazy, and the poor owner, he went back to the Dominican Republic. So, you know, Alvin Bragg is going to say, you know, I'm a great DA because I'm going to convict Trump. Well, if you don't, you're a fool. It's 90% Democrats and blue in this city, including right. The jury pool.
What'd you think about that campaign tactic, Harold?
First of all, it's good to be back. I've been gone a week, so it's good to see everybody around the table.
Good to see you, man. You were missed, yeah.
Couple things. First, you when you think about Donald Trump as a candidate for office and as a political athlete, I say often he's as gifted a political athlete as I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with a lot of his things, but you have to respect the business and understand how politics is, that the art of politics is litigated. This move here, Dana, we had a conversation about this a day or so ago. Here he is in New York. He goes to a bodega. He was at, I think, at a gas station a day or so before. This is as good a campaigning as you can do. Now, whether some may argue or say that the crowd was scripted, whatever happened there, it looked good. This is the kind of theater you want when you're in a campaign. And he was able to highlight, in addition to that, an issue that is on the forefront of a lot of voters' minds, not just in New York, but everywhere, law and order and crime. I'll refrain from some of the conversation and analysis around D.A. Bragg. But if you look at what, to the judge's point, this juxtaposition of Donald Trump there versus the trial, this is what's going to be talked about over the next day. So as a political move, as a political athlete, this was a very, very smart thing for the president to do. Now, I don't think it's going to necessarily have an impact on the trial itself, but on the campaign itself, there's no doubt this is one of the smarter things the president could be doing.
And the image drove the news. And President Biden is in Pennsylvania. He's swinging through there, kind of, right? He's talking about raising taxes and things like that. And I think that they know that it's the keystone state to his campaign. They need to have Pennsylvania in the Democratic camp. But how does the Biden team compete with images like that?
He can't. Trump's like the white Carl Lewis. If we're talking political athleticism.
Yeah, me too. White Carl Lewis.
Think about how fast this guy is.
White guy faster than the black Carl Lewis?
They call him White Lightning.
White Lightning, okay.
He's at a fraternity house throwing footballs. Then he's at a UFC fight with Rogan. And then he's at a Chick-fil-A. Black women are coming up to him, hugging him, shakes on the house. And then he's going to the bodega where Hispanic kids are chanting 4 more years. Yep. It blows up every hoax they've thrown at him. They've said this guy hates minorities. The minorities love him everywhere he goes. Yep. Say he's afraid to go out inside of his bunker. He's going to places Joe Biden doesn't even go. This is a brilliant tactic. And if you're going to be pinned down in a place like this, he pivots and takes opportunities like that. It was sick. Sleepy Don one day, and the next day he's a caged animal. They're just throwing stuff up against the wall. I think he's been pretty calm for facing 91 charges. I'm wetting myself if I'm facing one charge. They are trying to rig this jury. They are catching undercover liberal activists lying to the judge. They're saying, oh, have you ever said anything on social media about Donald Trump? No, I can't remember. Well, what about this post where you said he should be in prison? Oh, yeah, that one. Strike. And they keep throwing these undercovers at him, and thank God they're doing their research on these people. So far, the jury foreman is a guy born in Ireland. And then my other hope is a guy born in Puerto Rico with grandkids. The rest of them are corporate lawyers with DEI all over their firm's websites. And you have a 20-year-old white girl who works for Disney and likes to dance. This looks like trouble. I think
exactly
a hung jury.
White
I think a hung jury is the best you're going to get here.
Listen, hashtag white lightning. Normally when someone's in court or in trouble, the rule is always shut up and just win your case. Going out to the public is usually a bad idea. This is the one time it's a great idea. I think President Trump and his team is smart enough to know that whatever happens in the courtroom is already laid out. They know what's going on. So he's going to use this. His trial is going to be publicly. So he's doing things that the other president won't do, can't do. You can't have Joe show up at a bodega and answer questions because it'll get weird, you know. So what the president is doing is phenomenal in the sense where I think he's read the room. He's not going to get a fair trial in New York. But for all those days he's there, he's got free campaign money. So he's making up for that loss. They took $500 million away. Cool. I'll take the free press, which normally would cost candidates millions and millions of dollars. He's getting it every day. And as a former wrestler, he is a master at the promo. He needs to have a book called The Art of the Promo. He gets in front of the mic and he just drops it. The crowd's chanting. You can't manufacture that. You didn't hand out scripts for that, because if so, they would see it online right now. Everyone would have a thing of the. So what he's doing is we're seeing in real time a living martyr. because he's dead in the courtroom, but his trials is in the public, and he's winning in the public.
Can I ask you guys a question? Why do you, I'm gonna sit and listen to the facts. You think that? So you think the jury has already decided? So I differ with you there. I just
think the case in itself. First of all, it's a federal. Why is Bragg doing it anyways? But the other side of it is, it's designed for him to lose. When you look at, because no one else is getting charged with this. No one. Like, it's crazy. The statute of limitations are out. It should have been a done deal. They found a way. Like I said, so it's the one time he said witch trial probably 50 times. This is the one time where it feels like a witch trial to the regular non. I didn't pass the bar guy, but to
neither
me,
neither did I. But that might be true what you're saying. But they still have to present the case, and the jury may reach the same conclusion.
There's
say,
no
this is
such
not.
Thing as a fair trial. What? When Manhattan is 90% Democrat, the defendant is a politician running for president.
I disagree with
there
you
should
totally.
Have been a change of venue in a county close to Manhattan where the same judge would try the case, but where at least they had a 50-50 like in a swing district. New York City was selected.
You're
for
saying
this
every
reason.
Republican that's been convicted in the city of New York, they should have known they were going to be convicted because they're Democrats
no,
on the jury?
No, because
or,
there's
vice
a 90...
Versa,
no,
Democrats
no,
Republican
what I'm areas? Saying is that if the jury pool is pulled from the voting rolls and they're 90% anti-Trump 4 years ago, let's stop kidding each other and making believe this is a fair trial. The only way he gets a fair trial as a politician in a political case, in a political venue, is in a swing state or a swing county venue.
Okay. Coming up, they might need to Google a good defense lawyer, anti-Israel tech workers arrested after occupying their boss's office.
It's time to take the quiz.
Five questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
From blocking bridges to harassing Jewish students on campus, the pro-Hamas crowd has had a busy week of causing chaos. Earlier, a group of Columbia students set up 60 tents on the university's main lawn to protest Israel. And now these loons have found a new way to show off their anti-Semitism, occupy their boss's office. Anti-Israel Google staffers getting arrested after storming the company's headquarters in New York, California, and Seattle, and staging a sit-in at the executive offices, demanding that the tech giant cut ties with the Israeli government.
Google, you can't hide.
No, Google, you can't hide.
You are funding genocide.
You are funding genocide.
The anti-Israel insanity didn't stop there. Protesters were chanting death to America in the streets of New York. Piers Morgan confronting an activist who doesn't think the vile chant is that big a deal.
What do you think about people chanting death to America, as they did in one video clip?
I think that that's just a phrase maybe said by an individual.
Well, no, the whole crowd began joining in.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, yeah. So this guy said it, and then the whole crowd began chanting it. What would you condemn that?
I'm here to talk about the entire Israeli
government. Hang on, you're here to answer my questions, actually. Would you condemn what they were chanting, death to America?
I think we should condemn Palestinians actually being killed.
You know, Dana, I'll go to you. It's very interesting how when they're called on it, you know, they're not going to admit it. And in this particular case, you've got all of these Google and Amazon employees, 90 Google, 300 Amazon, out of like 1.5 million Amazon employees who want to put an end to whatever business is being done with Israel.
I'm not shocked that Google is full of a lot of pro-Hamas lunatics. Okay, remember what we just saw about the AI thing a couple of weeks ago? I mean, they want to make George Washington black, like the original White Lightning. If you remember the callback from the A block. It's also the highlighting of how they've hijacked the word genocide. Mm-hmm. This is not a genocide. And they don't speak up when there is actual genocide, okay? Mm-hmm. No one's talking about the Sudanese right now, right? You want to talk about that? We could have a conversation, except for they couldn't answer the questions because they have talking points that they walk into an interview with. And as soon as Piers Morgan asks them a question that's not on their approved list of talking points, it melts on contact. So that was pretty pathetic. I think that the ceasefire calls are to 2024 what defunding the police was to 2020 in terms of the political concept. And you'll see if these corporations actually fall for it again. Remember what they did in 2020. They bent over backwards. We'll give you all the money. And then now they have these sit-ins with these employees, which is weird because I thought everybody worked from home. So, like, who cares that they're in their executives' offices? But the gall of these employees to denounce Israel, not only do they don't just want at Google for those employees to stop working with the Israeli government, they wanted to stop working with our government. Remember, they wanted to boycott working with the Pentagon because of all of this other nonsense. So they've got big problems at Google. I'd fire every one of them.
Well, yeah, there really isn't, Jesse. There really isn't a lot of them to fire. I mean, there's like 300 out of 1.5 million and 90 Google employees out of 182,000. So, I mean, do you expect the leadership, even though they're parking themselves in the CEO's office? I mean, these people really have a lot of chutzpah, to say the appropriate term.
What is chutzpah, by the way?
It's like your spine.
Like Yiddish.
Like Yiddish.
Yeah, there you go.
Got it.
It's like opposite of a Hassa. That's a pig that don't fly straight.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine 20-year-old Jesse Waters sitting in on O'Reilly's office demanding anything.
I'm tired of being outside.
To pick me up and through the window and down on the pavement. And it wasn't just that radical Palestinian activist that couldn't condemn death to America. Hillary Vaughn chased down a bunch of House Democrats last night, and they wouldn't condemn death to America. It's the easiest thing to say, I condemn.
Yep.
That's all you need to say. And if you're going to do a little sit-in at Columbia, fine. You want to have a tent, fine. If you sit in on the boss's office, like if Johnny pitched a tent at my office and had a mask on, oh, he'd be working for Laura Ingraham.
Yeah. Well, forget about that. How about a Murdoch's office? That's even worse.
Which one? This Murdoch?
Yeah. That's right. You're a Murdoch, too. Why don't you take it, Mr. Murdoch? Let us know how you would react.
Oh, it's easy. Thank you for coming. You're fired. Show them how. It would have been quick. It would have been over in 3 seconds. When I believe in something strong enough to risk my job or to risk judgment, I stand by it, right? So when someone asks me, do you support Israel and what they're doing against Hamas? Yep, 1,000%. Go to town. You have my support. If I didn't say that and they said, well, do you support Israel? I don't want to answer your question. Means I don't. So the Death to America chant, if you have the constitutional intestinal fortitude to just say, I support Death to America. I support them. I'm with them. This is my line. I'm not condemning it because I'm okay with it. I always have more respect for someone who tells me like it is instead of playing the game. Now, I've grown up like my neighbor don't like black people. Cool. I don't like him. We understand each other. We're not going to exchange sugar. We're not going to have camping. We know where our line is.
Yep.
When you refuse to do a line, that makes you spineless. And no one takes you seriously on anything. These people, they make these chants and they, you know, death to America and all this stuff. And they're blaming America and Israel for the Palestinians and Hamas's problems. Why aren't you getting mad at Jordan and Egypt? Why are they not opening the doors? Like, hey, you guys, we'll take the refugees. We'll bring you in. We'll help because there's a reason for that.
It's anti-Semitism.
It's a reason for that.
Does your neighbor not like
I don't
black
know, Jesse.
People or just not like you?
Well, I don't know, Jesse. For weeks, I've been like, hey, I'm your new neighbor. You coming by? And still waiting. So
I think he's scared of you.
Yeah, probably.
It could be.
Because he's...
All right.
Yes. Yes. White lightning.
Yeah. All right. So, Harold, I mean, do these people not realize that their ideology would be totally rejected if they were in Gaza? And why do they keep saying free Palestine? Palestine is free. It's just Hamas that's got them on lockdown.
Look, I don't disagree. I'm going to build on a point that Tyrus made. I think if you have a position, then defend your position. I can disagree with you, and we can deal with the consequences of your position, but you got to defend your position. We have a history in this country of protests and dissent. And the protests that happened in the 50s and the 60s that helped pave the way for new freedoms for blacks and women across the country, Dr. King and John Lewis, they would gladly have gone on Piers Morgan's show and wanted to answer every question and defend every position, but they were unable to get those opportunities. I think there are a lot of young, particularly young people who protest today, who I may agree with their position or agree with their cause, who don't understand what dissent and protest is.
That young lady, bless her heart, on the show, I disagree with her. It sounds like she does agree with Death to America. But if whatever you agree with, you got to be willing to defend your position. Number two, they should quit working where they are. I would have fired them, too. You have every right to disagree with Google's positions on anything that they do. But if you want to be an employee of Google, you probably can't do that. Like you need to quit the job and then get outside and agitate and talk about what they should be doing. We had a group of people in the White House I saw for Biden. We talked about this. Dan on the show and Jesse on the show and Judge. And they sent a letter saying how they didn't agree with what the president was doing. Quit.
They were interns.
Oh, yes.
Quit.
Yes.
You have everybody's entitled to their position. But we live in a country where people believe that they can go work somewhere and disagree with them and still work there and put their finger in the face and their fist in the face of those who they work for. You have every right to do that, but they have every right to fire you. And more importantly, you should quit if you disagree that fervently with what
also, they should
doing.
Quit or be fired and then be Google should refuse to confirm that they were ever employed there.
Yep.
And the White House should say, oh, yeah, I never knew them. And make it look like they weren't there.
We have people protesting funerals today. People outside of there used to be a decency and an etiquette to protest and dissent in the country. Shame on people who go to a funeral.
Shame on them. Shame.
I don't get it. Maybe I'm old fashioned.
No, I'm with you on that, Dries. I see the same thing. The lack of respect and the ignorance that goes with it. Because to that point, you get asked a question and your answer is, I didn't see the video.
But well, I didn't come on here to talk about it.
I didn't come
on.
What do you want to talk about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not. Basketball I like your sport. Bless your heart. Bless her heart. You're such a sweet guy, Harold.
That means something different when it's in the South.
Yeah. All right. Coming up, it's a defund movement that Republicans can get behind. Cut taxpayer cash to biased NPR.
Okay, y'all, we got 10 or less.
I know you think it's harmless. You're tearing me apart. And girl, the hardest part is you're so high on attention.
There's finally a defund movement Republicans can get behind. Senator Marsha Blackburn's proposing that Uncle Sam finally cut off federal funding for NPR. After it got exposed as just another arm of the DNC. Get this, $500 million of your money goes to a corporation that helps support the liberal outlet. Big Bird over at PBS gets some of that dough, too, but that's another story. Just today, the senior editor at NPR who blew the whistle on the bias resigned after they suspended him for telling the truth. He says that he just can't work for the company's new ultra-woke CEO, Catherine Marr. Conservatives having a field day, exposing her old left-wing tweets. She called Donald Trump a racist. She says she's a proud Hillary supporter, thinks white silence is complicity, and said it's hard to be mad about the George Floyd riots that caused billions in damage. She's also confused about the truth.
Our reverence for the truth might be a distraction that's getting in the way of finding common ground and getting things done.
Dana Perino.
Yes.
What do you think of this new CEO?
Well, I think one of the things we've learned from here is never accept an invitation to give a TED talk. That is number one. Her tweets are absolutely wild. And I've been a longtime listener of NPR, but it's dropped off in recent years, much as other people. For example, from Uri Berliner's original piece, in 2011, way back when, okay, that's when the five started, in 2011, the NPR audience tilted a little bit to the left, but it was pretty much kind of down the middle, 26%. Describe themselves as conservative, 23% as middle of the road, 37% as liberal. By 2023, last year, it was completely different. Only 11% said they were conservative, 21% middle of the road, and 67% of NPR listeners were liberal. So to me, NPR has lost the greater public's trust. And Uri Berliner, I think they probably did have to let him go. I think he was probably at that point knew that it was coming. And she, though, has defended her old tweets by saying, in America, everyone has a right to free speech, except for Uri Berliner. He didn't have one. And instead of also the other thing is instead of saying, you know, he makes some points, we're going to take a look at them. Instead, they're just like going straight ahead and they'll call anybody who doesn't support them anymore for their funding, whatever they're going to call them. I have defended NPR for years, but I'm out.
Oh, Dana's a defunder.
Are you a defunder too?
No, and I have an issue with the word, and I strongly would like to see that change, because when I think the word defund has a definition in this particular time in our history that we need to not water it down. Defund crippled our police force. It ruined families. It caused people, our men and women in blue to retire early. The word defund was used to besmirch them and ruin them, and a whole movement to basically spit in the face of our law enforcement. So when I see it used to defund something else, I'm like, no. We need to remember that word. And we need to, every time you hear that word, it's just like if someone used used the term animal to describe me and Harold, and then they wanted to use animal to describe Big Bird. No. We're going to stay with your original definition. So I think it's important not to use that word for other things, because it waters down. We need to stay vigilant and remember what has happened. When's the last time when you're walking around, you've seen a police officer with a smile on his face? Mm-hmm. When we use that word for something else, no. Defund the police.
Well, the last time I saw a smile on a cop's face was when Judge Jeanine walked over and shook his hand.
But that's the point. If you want to cut off funding because they're biased or whatever, I'm fine with that. But don't. This is what she is. We need to stop trying to convince people that this is not. This is who she is. This is what her brand is. And if our federal government, which is a Democrat left-leading government right now, if they want to let that run, it's their time. They're in the office. They make those decisions. We know what they are. Trying to convince us that they're going to change her or smarten her up is a waste of time. It goes back. They made their line in the sand. Don't listen, because that's how you make changes in this country.
You can't have public broadcasting that takes the side of one party, or where the editorial board is almost 90% from one party. I mean, I agree. NPR has changed over the last few years. And, you know, I respect what you're saying, Tyrus, about defund and the negative context that it has. But at the same time, I think it's appropriate for this, because to take public money and to try to convince people of your side as the right side, and this CEO saying she cried out of relief because Donald Trump was not elected. I mean, you know, these people are in their own bubble, and they have created news that a lot of Americans think is news. Americans think is news when it's not, when they don't care about the ordinary American. They don't care what the ordinary person thinks. These people are elitist. They're in their own bubble. They get all kinds of money from foundations and grants and everything else because they have the word public broadcasting. They come under this umbrella of we are protected, we are fair, we are noble, when they are everything but that. And it's about time people took them down. And you can't, in the name of inclusion, and NPR's mission is to celebrate humanity by hearing every voice, in the name of inclusion, right, you can't have journalism of exclusion. And that's what they're doing. And you know what? It's about time the rug was pulled out from under them.
Use that word, exclusion.
They don't get a lot of money, according to some of the data. But right, I think that some of it suggests that they're getting money from other. They get 1% of their budget. But here's the thing: when you reach a point where you are really just comfortable around a table, when everyone's just saying the same thing, and just become and we've seen this in some media outlets over the last few weeks as they've been confronting some of these things, it gets bad. I like what this guy did. Mm-hmm. He laid out what he thought was a problem. Then he resigned. Now, to your point, Dana, something else might have been getting ready to happen. But in our last segment, you have these people who are going into their boss's offices yelling with masks on their face and mm-hmm. not really knowing what they're doing. This guy said, look, I don't support calls to defund.
Right.
He used a defund
right.
NPR.
Yes.
He said, I respect the integrity of my colleagues, but I can't work in a newsroom where I'm disparaged by a new CEO. So hopefully this causes some real internal conversation and even external conversation from those, even if you're a liberal and you like NPR, you should want dissent yeah. on the thing. If you're a conservative and you listen to conservative radio, you should want a little back and forth. So I applaud him for what he did. And they should have to overhaul this thing. And if the money's only 1%, what difference does it make really anyway? But I hope they become, because NPR is valuable and important, and they've gone off the left side. I would agree with them. We need to get them back to what it was when I was in law school.
But the fact that it has the nomenclature of public broadcasting, they get funding and they get money and grants because they're seen as public broadcasting. They get tax benefits. It's not just about the 1%. Mm-hmm. There's all the corollary.
So I
benefits.
Hope they fix it. I don't want to see him go down. I want to see him fix it.
Okay, and Harold and the judge will continue to argue in the commercial.
No, we just agree.
Ahead on the five, a little ditty about John Cougar's rage.
Nice.
Mellencamp melting down at a concert.
I ain't talking politics. I'm talking small town. And if you're from one, you know what I'm talking about. It's everywhere, I swear, from the courthouse bridge to...
From the creators of Jesus Revolution.
John Mellencamp making it hurt so good for fans who just wanted a good show. The Jack and Diane singer going ballistic on its audience in Ohio, storming off the stage after someone apparently heckled him while he was telling a story. Catch this.
And then it got real quiet. What do you think I've been doing to you? Guys, I can stop this show right now and just go home. Tell you what I'm going to do. Since you've been so wonderful, I'm going to cut about 10 songs out of the show. You know what? Show's over.
He eventually returned to finish his set, and Mellencamp said in an interview that fans should learn how to behave or don't come to my show. DP, you've been to a lot of concerts.
You know, the other day when I went to the Billy Joel concert, the one that CBS totally screwed up the other night when they aired it. Everyone's having a great time. It is remarkable to me how many people are watching the show through their phone. Right. And not enjoying the experience. It's like, well, why don't you just watch it on TV? But my favorite thing that night was this girl that was sitting in front of us. She was online shopping while her husband was having a great time. And I can see why some people in a more intimate venue like this one, where he could actually have eye contact with the people in the crowd and realize what was happening, that he was frustrated. I totally get it. I do think he actually didn't have to say much, because if you listen, there are people in the crowd shouting down the hecklers, right? So that's often the best way to deal with something like that, the peer pressure of other fans telling somebody to shut up.
T?
You know what? I'm with him with this one. Me personally, when I do my stand-up shows, I always dream of a heckler because it's just fun, free material.
Who's gonna heckle you, though, honestly?
Judge Jeanine did when she came to my show. And she got it. So I wasn't afraid that night because I had the mic and she would listen to every word I had to say. But this is, and he has every right to do this. The problem is that people buy a ticket now. They think they own the rights to the whole show, and they're the producer and the director because they bought the ticket. The guy's yelling at him. He's telling a story to set up a song, and the guy's like, play some music. So that's what pissed him off. He didn't want to be told what to do by a guy who bought to see him. So I get it. And he walked off. And then, you know what? That's how you raise children also. Kids won't stop talking. Guess what? Party's over. Hit the lights. I'm done. Everyone go home, and you leave the room, and you wait a few minutes, and then one of the kids will come in and be like, Dad, I'm sorry. Could we please have the party? And
this
then
happened
you have
that.
The party. It happens literally twice a week at my house. So, you know, this is the whole thing. He did the right thing. They were punished. And then he came back out, and they sang the song. So, you know, they learned their lesson, and I'm pretty sure the guy didn't say, play another song. Because if he was, I'd have been like, it's one of my kids at the show. So,
the judge, is someone who does this at shows like this, is this what you...
yeah.
Is this what happens normally?
You know what? I spent a lot of time thinking about this because I could really see both sides. But it was kind of interesting that the person who yelled said, play some music. He was telling a story about his grandmother. And, you know, I think whether you're an entertainer or a politician or a chef, your client, your customer, your followers, I think that you try to appease them. They came to hear music. And this guy was triggered. He was absolutely triggered. And, you know, so I kind of see the public's response of, I came for music. I didn't come to hear you talk. You know, but you could come down either way. You really
heckler.
Could.
Something of a true heckler.
Prime time.
I figure that if John Cougar Mellencamp's telling a story, it's probably a pretty good story.
Yep.
And if he's telling the story about his grandmother, usually the polite thing to do is not interrupt someone when they're talking about their grandmother. Yeah. I always make it a point not to interrupt anybody who's holding anything, like a guitar or a mic stand. Just safety precautions.
Or a bat.
Or a bat. Or a hose.
The fastest. The fastest is up next.
Hey, what you get, there's no tomorrow.
You know, I spend a lot of time thinking.
What it is, I am the superstar. Welcome back. Actor Nick Offerman says that if he was president of the United States, he'd bring back home ec.
I would also reinstate woodworking and kitchens and sewing in our schools and teach our kids
sewing
how to make things with their hands. I loved learning to make casserole, and I loved learning to build a table. All of those things you need. If you want to serve casserole, you need a table.
Absolutely love that. And, you know, it's funny because most of my kids are homeschooled, and they all have sewing classes, woodwork, and have to be outside most of the day. So all of us, I think, are old enough, with the exception of maybe Dana, to remember woodshop and stuff like that. Harold, are you for this? I think I miss trade schools. I miss home ec because I did learn how to make a casserole that way.
Absolutely, and they should just add a little financial literacy and financial education along with it. Most kids think that, you know, the only good thing is you can have this device and you can Google how to build something and you can do it, but you still have to have the habit of doing it.
Yeah, you can't live off IKEA, Jesse.
I think all of this is good. I hope they bring that back, and I hope they bring back even helping kids understand, you know, just what happens at a sink. How do you turn an oil? How do you clean things? I mean, these kids don't know this stuff anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Jesse?
Do the boys have to learn how to cook the casserole, or is it just the...
Here we go.
No, everybody.
Oh, everybody? Okay.
Survival.
The reason they don't teach financial literacy, Harold, is because the economy wants us all in debt. They don't want people managing or saving
their
money.
Who is they?
They are them, Harold. They are them. And you've just ruined the segment.
Yeah, I like
Possibly home ec.
Home ec. Is that where they teach you not to get pregnant before you're married?
No, that's
isn't that home ec?
No, Jesse, my word.
You were homeschooled before it was cool to be homeschooled. You learned everything while you held on to your mom's apron. Okay. I think we're done here. Dana, Judge.
I'm good. I'm for woodworking and home ec. I made a cupcake pillow.
Okay. You know what?
I think it's very important. You know why? I think at some point the grid's going to go down, and people better learn the how to survive.
Yeah, that's what I told my kids.
Yeah, how to sew a pillow when the grid goes down.
No, how to cook.
Sew a wound,
how to
Jesse.
Food.
You get a wound, you can same sewing. Got to be able to sew it up.
Yeah, didn't you watch Outlander?
No.
Damn it, Jesse. One more thing's up next. Come on, man.
Hi, I'm William Devane.
Time now for one more thing, Jesse.
Happy birthday, Gigi.
Here she is.
1 year old.
Aww.
And you're not going to believe it. She walked today.
Oh, perfect time.
On her first birthday.
She
looks like her brother. She looks like Jesse.
Yeah, she does. They look very much alike. We're very, very proud, and we love you, Gigi.
Aww.
Tonight, Jesse Waters primetime, JFK, the CIA, and LSD. JFK will not be a guest, but we will be exploring that in depth.
Can't wait for that. Judge.
All right. What did he do? Okay. It's going to drop tomorrow on Fox Nation. Obviously, you know who he is. He's a music mogul, self-proclaimed bad boy. Sean Diddy Combs faces a growing list of disturbing allegations, not only sexual assault, but right now the feds are after him based on those two big raids. And on this special, we talk about all of the trouble he's been in, but he seemed to evade any criminal conviction. I'm not quite sure that that's going to last forever. There's a lot of stuff in this special, so be sure to watch it. And tomorrow morning, I'll be on Fox and Friends early.
I'll see you there. All right.
Be there.
Harold.
I'd like Judge's picture to be up whenever I'm talking going forward here. Phoenix, it was a good picture. A Phoenix golf course held an unconventional event to benefit the Ronald McDonald House. The Papago Golf Course hosted the For the House golf tournament, where a helicopter drops thousands of balls on the green below. Check this out. Every ball was an entry into a raffle, which was won by landing in a hole. Prizes include staycations and Phoenix Suns tickets. But the main thing is that Ronald McDonald House provides free shelter for families of children traveling to Arizona for medical treatment. Yeah. Hopefully they raise a lot of money.
Yeah, great stuff.
Cool. I have one. This is an Ohio man who's being called a hero because this is my great fear of going to any sort of game. This guy basically had quick reflexes and saved the life of a four-year-old boy at a hockey game. The puck was coming right at him at a Cleveland Monsters game. And Andrew Podolak jumped in front of the boy to block the speeding puck with his hand, deflecting it. You know, it came so close that it left ice particles. in Nasir's hair. They were reunited, and Nasir was able to do the puck drop. You know what that is, Jesse?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That happens at the start of the game, so that happened. And also, there's a new quiz at thequiz.fox. You know, I love a quiz, and you can take it every day. It takes you less than 5 minutes, and we can compete, as Tyrus loves to do. We're going to take the quiz together one of these days.
Yep. Didn't I beat you on Jesse's show? I believe I did. Anyways, drivers in Montana could have not have imagined what caused the afternoon traffic jam. No,
love
it was
story.
Not me.
I love it.
It was not me. I'm usually the elephant in the room, but I will take a back seat to Viola, my newest sweetheart, and she can come live with me. Had a, she escaped wow. from the circus during bath time,
Montana.
And she was captured. And, you know, she was just walking around the town.
She escaped during bath time?
During bath time. And, of course, you know, if you want to see more Elf in the Room, you can check out my live events coming up, my comedy tour. Jesse's not
here. Wow, look at all those events.
Good for you.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, in these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Listen to The Five ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.